Hey everyone, it's James Wilson. Welcome to another edition of the Bike James podcast. Today I'm going to be sharing some tips with you, some reasons that you need to be getting stronger this off season. So here's the great debate. What is this off season thing that you speak of? Some riders will say it's heresy to say that you're not going to ride your bike. And there are some people out there that, you know, you are fortunate enough to not to live in an area where you can ride year round, and with fat biking and a lot of other things, yeah, you can have that option to ride year round. And so the idea of an off season becomes less and less of a literal thing and more of an idea of when are we going to spend some time focused on getting stronger and working on the things that we need to help give us the base to be better riders. Because that's the yin and the yang of training, right? Like, you're not going to become a better rider in the gym. I'm not going to lie to you and say, you know, that getting in the gym and getting more mobile and stronger and all these things is going to directly make you a better rider. You got to get on your bike. You got to ride your bike. Like, you know, riding your bike is what turns that athleticism, that potential, that base, whatever you want to call it, that's what, you know, turns that into the mountain bike specific strength and skill and fitness that we want and actually makes you a better rider. But just riding your bike doesn't allow you the chance to increase that potential. And so the off season is really a time, like, you can continue to ride your bike. I think this is another just kind of misunderstanding. Like, you should ride your bike if you can. Like, I would never tell you to purposefully not ride your bike, but it starts to basically your priorities shift, right? Like, when you train hard, especially if you're focused on getting stronger, you're going to have to spend more time and energy towards that goal, specifically energy recovering. You're going to, you know, maybe be a little more sore than you necessarily would want to be. And so there'll be days when it might affect your riding. Like, you might be a little beat up from the workout the day or two before, or whatever the case may be. And your performance on your bike, on, you know, on that ride may suffer a little bit. But at, you know, during the riding season, this isn't a good trade-off. Right? Like, you want to be able to ride and ride well and enjoy riding. So, but there has to be a point in time, and this is where that off season comes in, where it's not that you're not riding your bike, it's that your focus, you're all right with the trade-offs that come with focusing a little bit more on the off bike stuff, and specifically with getting stronger. And so, you know, with that in mind, everybody should have, if you want to call it an off season, whatever you want to call it, should have a period of time where your focus shifts from riding as much as possible to getting some good hard training in and focusing on getting stronger, because you're gonna have a tough time really improving your strength levels and things to any significant degree while you're riding a lot. It's just hard for the body to adapt to kind of two different things. And so, but the like I said, there's a lot of benefits that come with this. So I also want to point out that when I'm talking about getting stronger, I'm talking about getting in the gym and spending some time moving some weight, doing, you know, 5 reps or less. There's another podcast that I have that you can check out where I go into the, you know, more detail of 5 reasons why you should be doing 5 reps or less in a set. And so I think that's one of the other misunderstandings that a lot of riders have when they hear talk about strength training. They think about either getting in the gym and doing high rep stuff, because we're endurance athletes, and so, hey, everything needs to be high rep to make it specific. Or you also see a lot of people adopting, like, the boot camp or CrossFit style workouts, where, again, you're turning strength training into more of a cardio training event. And, you know, there are some, again, this is, you know, some CrossFit gyms are better than others with some of these things, but you're trying to get stronger it's easier if you're, you know, doing a workout that's focused on that goal. And so for riders, you want to be focused on getting stronger. Like the thing is, one of the best pieces of advice I ever got as a strength coach was from another strength coach named Ian King, who's, you know, really kind of the godfather of modern day fitness coaching. A lot of things that we take for granted today, he either, you know, came up with or really helped popularize. But one of the things that he wrote about with, you know, in regards to, you know, training people is that you want to focus on the opposite of what they do in their sport. And it sounds a little bit counterintuitive, right? But if you think about it, whatever you do in your sport, you're getting a lot of exposure to. Your body's getting a lot of chances to adapt to what you do the most in your sport. And so when you get out of your sport and you get in the gym and you're doing, you know, kind of general physical prep, you're looking to fill in some gaps. Like, you know, this is kind of starting to get into one of the reasons that, you know, some of the reasons that getting stronger will help you as a rider. But, you know, for example, for mountain bikers, there's things that we need to do on the trail. There's these high tension efforts. You know, imagine like trying to, you know, grind up a tough climb and you're, you know, running out of gears and you're, you know, you get to that last little bit and you're trying to keep the pedals turning over and you just can't generate enough tension to keep, you know, force to keep the pedals turning over. And so that right there is a form of strength, right? Like you need strength. You need to get stronger in order to get better at that. And what happens is, you know, as you start riding, especially the first couple years, you'll see that just riding will get you stronger to the specific demands of riding. But eventually you stop getting exposed to these things enough to continue to, you know, adapt to them. You just don't do them enough on the trail. You don't do them enough each week because you're not riding enough and then doing them enough times on each ride in order to give your body the exposure that it needs to get stronger. And so this is what one of your goals are with training. You actually want to focus on the opposite of what you do on the bike. And so for mountain bikers, we get a lot of endurance training. And again, this isn't saying you don't want to do any cardio. It's just, what is your emphasis? Like, everything can't be most important with your program. So as a rider, what is going to be most important? And especially early on in the off season, you should be focused on trying to get stronger, because it's going to help you fill in this gap that you just don't do enough, because there's this thing that you need on the trail that you don't do enough on the trail to improve. And so again, like, this is a really important reason why you don't want to be focusing on high reps or trying to turn strength training into a form of cardio training as a mountain biker, because even though it feels more specific, you're actually losing the best benefits of what you can get from that time off the bike by focusing on some of these other skills. So what are these things? Like, what are the benefits that you're going to get from getting stronger? And probably the number one thing that I try to get riders to understand is that everything that you do on your bike comes down to tension. Your muscles create tension. When they create tension, that's how you create movement. That's how you're able to create and resist forces. It all comes down to your muscles creating tension. And if you think about tension on a spectrum, right? Like, you've got a one rep max power lifter, you know, one rep max deadlift on one end. Like, it's the most tension that you can generate in a very short amount of time. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have, you know, say like a marathon runner who is generating a smaller amount of tension over a longer period of time. But it all comes down to tension. The marathon runner is producing tension. The power lifter is producing tension. You know, all the athletes in between they have to produce tension. It's just, it generally comes down to, you know, are you producing a lot of tension over a short period of time because the body can only sustain that for so long, or Are you sustaining, are you, you know, creating a lower amount of tension for a longer period of time? And obviously training can manipulate, you know, how much tension you're able to generate over how much time. And that's one of the ways that you're able to improve your performance. But if you think about tension as a skill, your ability to create tension, it's a skill. And you want to own both ends of that spectrum. You want to be able to create high amounts of tension for a short period of time, and you want to be able to create low amounts of tension for long periods of time. And again, if we're thinking about, well, what end of the spectrum as mountain bikers do we not get exposure to? Do we not work on as much on the trail when we're riding? And it's that higher tension for shorter periods of time in. Like, we just, again, it goes back to we need these efforts, but we don't do a lot of them on the trail. And so if you're looking at which end of the spectrum, we're most likely to have a gap and have a need to work on and fill in, it's that higher tension end of the spectrum. So it basically helps you. Strength training, especially, like I said, the five reps or less variety, it really teaches you tension creation skills. It teaches you how to create tension efficiently and effectively, and especially as the tension levels get higher. And this is, again, an important thing. You're going to do in training or on the trail what you do in training. And so if you don't ever expose your body to these high tension efforts and train your body how you want it to react as far as maintaining good breathing and good posture and good movement, you're just kind of leaving it up to chance how it's going to react on the trail. And I can tell you from experience, both my own and you know, working with other riders, that it's usually not very good, that things tend to start falling apart as we get exposed to these higher tension elements of riding. And you'll see breathing and posture and movement start to really get compromised. And that adds up. Those things add up on the trail. Like, those inefficient moments really add up and affect your overall endurance, you know, later on in the ride. And so by having a chance to work on that high tension end of the spectrum through strength training, you allow your body the chance to learn how to do that more efficiently when exposed to it on the trail. So that's the number one reason right there, is it helps you work on that tension creation skill side of things. The second reason is that strength training, and I also lump mobility training in with this, like mobility training and strength training, you know, the joke, like, where does mobility training end and strength training begin? Like, it, you know, they're kind of two sides of the same coin there. But both of these things, mobility and strength training, should be predicated on you practicing quality movement patterns. And preferably, these movement patterns have a direct correlation to your sport. And, you know, obviously there's some general ones, but we're also looking at the, you know, some how to work on the specific patterns that you need in your sport, in this case, being a mountain biker. But you should be focusing on not just moving, not just lifting weights, but how you're moving, how you're lifting weights, how are you creating these movements, what is the quality of your movement. And so what this does is it allows you to work on these base movement patterns in a less stressful learning environment. Everything that you do on the bike, every skill that you do on the bike is a combination or use of one of the basic movement skills that you use off of the bike. And your body is just applying these basic movement skills to the specific movement skills of riding your bike. But a lot of times, people don't really own the basic movement skills that they need in order to execute the higher level skills that they're trying to work on their bike. And so, for example, the body position is a great example of this, because this was probably one of my biggest aha moments for me as a coach. Was I was actually at a skills training camp, and the instructor was working with a guy who was really struggling to get into what you might call like the attack position, or your kind of, you know, your downhill you know, body position where you're up out of the saddle and you want your butt back and your chest down. And the guy was really struggling to do it on his bike, and he's, you know, rolling around in a parking lot, and it's a pretty safe environment, but you could just see it was not easy for him to try to change his habit. And all of a sudden it dawned on me. I was like, man, if you pulled him off the bike and you asked him to do a deadlift, which is basically a hip hinge movement, which is the direct correlator, you know, movement to that specific movement on the bike. If you asked him to do that hip hinge movement, a deadlift, I'll bet he couldn't do it. And that was my aha moment. Like, oh man, if he can't do it off of the bike, then he doesn't really have much of a chance to do it on the bike. Because off of the bike, it's a lower stress learning environment. Again, it doesn't matter where you are. When you're on a bike and you're moving, and some of, you know, you're worried about falling over, you know, and again, even if you aren't conscious of it, subconsciously, you're paying attention. You don't want to fall over. Your brain is spending energy towards making sure that it doesn't wreck, that it doesn't fall over, that it stays balanced. All of these things are technically stress that's being added to the system. And so being able to remove those stressors from the system allows your body more energy and focus to put on to just how you're moving. And so again, by using strength training and good mobility training and strength training to refine and practice these basic movement patterns is going to really, really, really help you on the bike. Because again, it's not a matter of knowing what to do. I'm strongly convinced that most riders out there, they struggle with their skills, not because they don't know what to do. There's plenty of information. There's plenty of videos. There's plenty of YouTube channels devoted towards telling you how to execute these skills. The problem is that people just can't move the way they need to do it. And the irony is once you can move the way that you need to, a lot of this stuff comes naturally. You don't have to worry so much about specific technique because good movement is good technique. And it happens more naturally and with way less effort than if you're trying to figure out how to do it without the prerequisite movements that you need to do it in the first place. So this is a again, really important one, but often overlooked one, that without some time spent getting stronger, and I guess also to the pointing out that you can look at getting stronger with these movement patterns, because again, you don't want to add strength. I talk about this. I've got blog posts and podcasts on this, how I don't like the term strength training on some levels, because it leads people to believe that the whole purpose is to just lift more weight. Like, they equate stronger with some external number, right? Like, I'm going to lift more weight, or I'm going to do more reps, and that makes me stronger. Well, this mentality, you know, putting that first, you know, I've said this already before, like, everything can't be most important. Something has to be most important. And so if your goal is to get stronger and move those external numbers, then you can start compromising how you move, because that's not as important as moving more weight. And so letting that movement quality slip a little bit, again, I'm not, you're, it's gonna, there's a range, right? Like, there's no such thing as like perfect movement, but you know, letting it go outside of a certain range of that you would consider safe, or, you know, still maintaining quality movement in order to just lift more weight. You see this a lot. And this is another reason that strength training gets kind of a bad rap among mountain bikers, is there's a difference between improving your movement and just lifting more weight. But if you're lifting more weight while you're also focusing on improving your movement, so improving your movement is your number one goal, and number two goal is to lift more weight. So you still need to lift more weight. Like, nobody's saying don't get stronger, don't lift weight. You just, if it's the number one goal, things can start to get a little screwy. So you just flip that. I need to keep my movement quality top notch, but I need to also lift more weight. And what this does is it stress proofs your movement. Okay, now you know that as the tension levels get higher, I've touched on this already a little bit, that, you know, a lot of riders start to fall apart in these conditions. But as you get into these higher tension things, your movement is literally stress proofed, right? The higher stress you put it under, the easier it is for you to not crack and for you to maintain good, efficient movement, good breathing, all of these things that go towards making sure that you're producing as much power and strength of whatever it is you're trying to do as efficiently as possible so that you're not wasting energy, which is a huge factor towards your overall endurance, right? Like we focus so much on cardio, improving the size of the gas tank without thinking about, you know, what are all the ways that we can improve the efficiency of the machine. And this is one of those ways that doesn't seem so obvious to a lot of endurance athletes, but really adds up, is how stress-proof is your movement? You know, how efficient are you when things really get tough? Because that really starts to add up over the course of a long ride. So that's a really important aspect there. And then finally, the third reason, it helps you avoid injuries. Getting stronger is going to help you avoid both acute, meaning like, you know, short term, like, you know, you fall. Muscle is your best armor. You know, you're getting your natural armor is your best armor. And so having some muscle, having, again, it's a tension skill. Your body's ability to create tension and absorb impact is a skill. And so you will find that you're able to absorb impact and take crashes better, especially if you're working on your mobility as well, like getting ragdolled. You're able to have your joints pulled into positions, whereas, you know, before something would pop or tear, that now it's not as big a deal. So, you know, being strong and mobile is your best insurance towards being able to walk away from a crash. And again, nothing's ever guaranteed, right? Like mountain biking, there's freak things that happen, but you just always want to, you know, put the odds in your favor as best as possible. And so getting stronger and more mobile is one of the best ways you can do that. And it's also going to help you avoid overuse injuries. And, you know, again, this goes back to how you want to try to work on the things that you don't use as much on the trail, because like any other sport, mountain biking favors certain movement patterns. It favors certain joints. And so you're using these things predominantly, and you start to put excessive wear and tear on them. And the body starts to develop movement patterns based on what you do the most. And so specifically, it'll start to develop stiffness. Like stiffness is a cheap form of stability. Like your body needs stability to create strength from, right? The old saying, like you can't fire a cannon from a canoe. This is what people would say about core training, the importance of core training. Is that, you know, if you can't fire a cannon from a canoe, you need a strong core to be able to use your arms and your legs effectively. But the thing that you have to keep in mind is that your core is going to respond specifically to what you do to it. And so it wants to create stability so that you can create movement and strength and power from a position, but it wants to also be metabolically efficient. It wants to burn as little energy as possible. And we were talking about this already. And one of its strategies is to develop stiffness. If you're always in a position and it's always trying to create stability and tension in this position, it's going to start creating stiffness. And stiffness is where it basically kind of just locks you in this position, because now it doesn't have to put out as much energy to sustain that position. You're just kind of locked into it. It's not as metabolically active, right? Like the tissues are just kind of stuck in that position. And so that there's a difference between them being stuck there and then being able to move, and your body creating tension in that position. And so this is how you start to kind of get locked into, you know, certain postures, and certain joints start to, you know, not move as well. And these things will really start to affect you off of the bike. This is where overuse injuries come from, is your body starts to develop these specific stiffnesses that for helping it thinks it's helping it ride the bike. And again, in the short term, if you're only looking at riding your bike, then they do have an advantage. This is why, like, if you're looking at a pro road cyclist, for example, they have horrible posture, and you don't necessarily want to fix that posture. Like, their posture is specific to what they need on the bike. Like, that that stiffness that their body has created is helpful for the specific demands of riding the bike. But there's a trade-off for it, right? Like, these guys are wrecks off of the bike. Their backs hurt, their hips hurt. You know, they're in a lot of pain and a lot of things going on that you have to do to keep these guys going. And a lot of that is because their body, it's not healthy. Like, to have yourself stuck in these positions is not healthy. Like, again, I talk about this all the time, how there's a difference between being fit and being healthy. Like, fitness is a specific ability to do a task. And so if you're only looking at your ability to ride a bike, then being stuck in that position, you know, it may actually add to your fitness in some level, but it's not healthy. You know, healthy is your ability for your body to move freely and do the things that it needs to do so that you're not placing excessive wear and tear on joints and wearing them down faster than they need to be. Because, you know, if you're going to be living in this body for, you know, hopefully 80 to 100 plus years, man, you're going to need all of those joints to work as good as possible that whole time. So sacrificing them, you know, the long-term health of your joints and other parts, you know, other aspects of your body and being in order to ride faster. Again, if you're a professional rider making your living off of this, then maybe it's worth it. But most of us aren't. And so, again, in my opinion, it's not. And so if you're not spending time getting stronger, if you don't have a quote-unquote off-season and you're just like, it's this badge of honor, like, well, I just ride my bike and that's all that I do. Great, man. Like, maybe you are going to be the outlier that makes it to the end. But a lot of these people who try that strategy end up broken and hurt. And even if they're still riding bikes, they're really limited. You know, they're limited by their bodies as far as like how hard and how often they can push themselves. And so by spending some time getting stronger and more mobile and offsetting these things and keeping yourself healthy, then, and again, man, you know, your fitness on the bike is not going to suffer. Like, we're talking like, you know, percentage points. And if your paycheck depends on a few percentage points in your performance, then, you know, then maybe that matters. But, you know, again, don't think that just because you become more mobile and you lose your Hunchback of Notre Dame posture that your Strava times are going to just start suffering. Like, that's not going to happen. And it's not a valid excuse to be like, oh, well, see, James said that if I do strength training, I'm actually going to ride slower. Like, that's not what I'm saying. All the other benefits that you're going to get from getting more mobile and getting stronger are going to more than offset anything that you're gaining from being stiff, for sure. But the other thing that you got to keep in mind is that this is both of these things, both keeping you injury free, both from the acute injuries, from crashes, and also from the overuse injuries over the long term. It's going to keep you consistent with your training and riding. And that's the real number one secret to improvement, is being consistent with those two things. If you can be consistent with your training and consistent with your riding for 5, 10, 15 plus years, you're going to be, you know, you can't help but be better. You can't help but be pretty damn good. And so anyways, like I said, that's, you know, keeping that long-term view, I think, will help people if you're, you know, trying to weigh the benefits and benefits to risks for a specific way of training. But, you know, just riding and not incorporating any type of off season, especially incorporating time to get stronger, the risk to benefit ratio, it's, you know, for me, it's not necessarily worth it. You know, maybe there'll be some short term gains on the performance end, but long term, it's going to catch up with you and it's going to start to, you're going to have to pay the piper eventually. So that's the third reason there. So those are the three reasons that, you know, I think that getting stronger, having some sort of quote unquote off season. And again, it doesn't mean to stop riding your bike. It just means that you're focused on getting stronger and you're willing to kind of sacrifice a little bit of performance on the bike in order to, get, or, you know, time or whatever it is, in order to focus on that. And you need that. You need that in order to continue to improve as a rider, in order to stay healthy. It's going to help your performance. And again, there's actually studies. I have, if you go to my site at bikejames.com and just do a search for studies, science, things like that. You'll find all sorts of studies and things that I've come across that actually point to strength training directly impacting performance in a variety of mountain biking disciplines. I mean, one in particular, how grip strength endurance was directly related to your performance in downhilling. So again, if you're a downhiller or you are, do enduro racing or just really like to get rowdy on the downhills, which, you know, who doesn't? I mean, I know there's people that don't, but anyways, it blows my mind. But the, why do we pedal to the top of that hill, right? It's a necessary evil to get to the fun part. But anyways, the grip strength endurance is a real important factor for that. And again, there's a study that showed a direct correlation in performance there. And so there are, things that show direct from a science and performance standpoint there. There are other things that point towards strength training being beneficial for you as a mountain biker. But just kind of beyond that, just kind of like a bigger picture aspect, these are some things I wanted to bring up and have you guys think about. So again, just working on those tension creation skills, working on your movement skills, and then helping you to avoid injuries. I mean, those are three super important reasons that are really going to help you improve your riding by spending some time getting stronger. And so I'd say, again, just to start to bring this to a close, anywhere from like a 6 to 8 week training block working on getting stronger. Like for example, in my Ultimate MTB workout program, the first few training or workouts are getting you prepared for that. Like there is a distinct 8 week block of working on getting stronger where we're using 5-3-2s and 3 sets of 5 and just really spending some time moving a little bit of weight. But it doesn't have to be a long time, and you don't want it to be a long time because the body can only adapt to that for so long. So, that 8 week period is really what you're looking for with that. And again, there's all sorts of other good programs out there. Besides my Ultimate MTB workout program, Jim Wendler's got a great program called 531 that is specifically geared towards powerlifting, but can easily be adapted towards mountain bikers looking to build some strength in the core lifts, your deadlift, bench, squat, shoulder press. Again, if you got any questions or anything like that, feel free to hit me up. You can post a comment along with this podcast here, or hit me up at james@bikejames.com, and I'll be happy to help out. But as we head into the winter months here, just some things to consider and why, if you're not already planning on doing it, that you should start to figure out when you're going to spend some time getting stronger and then reaping the benefits of that on the trail. So once again, it's been James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems and with Pedaling Innovations. And you can check us out at bikejames.com and pedalinginnovations.com. And again, guys, got any questions, hit me up at james@bikejames. Be happy to help you out. And always fun to share some information with everybody. And I will talk to everybody next time.